Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Have you ever felt like there's no way out? Like you've got a situation that you're so stuck in that you can't even take a breath? Have you ever had a situation where in the moment, there are not two sides? It's just one way to think about it and one way only. And that one way keeps you in panic mode. Today, Bill and I are going to talk about the power of an and. The power of building an and into your life, a practice, a way to stop and take a breath and automatically find another side to the coin, another part of the story. The truth is, we all know that there are always more than one perspective on anything. And in fact, in any given situation, there's usually three perspectives: self, other, and an observer, each with their unique point of view. The way out of the toughest situations is finding those perspectives, finding a way to shift into the and. So, Bill, have you ever been in one of those situations in the moment there feels like there's no way out? And if somebody tried to offer a way out, you'd be like, nope, there's no way out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was prior to, you know, the work that we do. My life was one big, you know, procession of that, no way out. And oftentimes it would be within relationship, or it would be within, you know, in relationship could be business relationship, it could be finances, it could be family, you know, all of it is, the big ones, which would go on for decades, no way out. And the small ones that would just be for, you know, like a weekend, you know, something like that. You know, I had a client, I hadn't told you this, but I had a client call this morning in a panic. And the client was on vacation. And the kids were coming, right? The spouse's kids were coming, and yay, you know, it's going to be really fun. And then they get there, and you know, the little kids are tearing it up, you know, noise. You know, tearing things out, leaving stuff everywhere, you know, food is, you can imagine, you know what it was like when you were a kid, you're eating food and you're so happy to be on vacation. Food's everywhere. You know, the towels are out of the closet. The entire load of towels are out of the closet.
Somehow, you know, on vacation, all the rules are off. And
all rules, there are no rules. It's like, it's vacation, so there are no rules. You know, it's just, you're leaving a trail of destruction behind you of, you know, soft goods in the house and food and noise too, you know, slamming doors, leaving doors open, you know, just going nuts, having a good time, laughing, having fun. You know, maybe telling somebody else what to do loudly, you know, and there was no and, you know, exactly what you're talking about. It was misery. And we did this little quick session. Now with Cogno, for those who don't know, what's Cogno Movement? Well, Cogno Movement is where you do an exercise, and it allows you to have access to different parts of your brain. to have different parts of your brain look at the problem. And in this particular case, the amazing thing about having different parts of the brain look at this situation was that, oh my gosh, I don't get to see these people very often. I'm very upset. I'm very upset about all this noise and clanking and everything's everywhere. And my God, it's like food's everywhere and the flies are coming in the house. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, you know what? They're laughing. They're having fun. What does it matter? What does it matter? We spent a lot of money to get here to have fun. And here I am, just so concerned about the things that don't matter. You know what? If you've ever been to like you had a big party at your house and it was super fun, but you got, you just like screw it at night and you're like, I'm going to bed. And you got up and the house is trashed and you're like cleaning it up, but kind of laughing about the night and how fun the night was. It was like the perception of the food everywhere is evidence of the joy and laughter and lightness. That it just came to be. As you said, the and became available by utilizing a different part of the brain.
I mean, that's the truth, because when you're in it and it does seem so disruptive, like with your client, because you don't access that part of the brain that knows, hey, calm down, this is just fun, right? You can't get there. Your nervous system's holding you in one place. It's really hard to find the and. And that's where our work comes in so handy. I got an emergency call this morning myself. I think it's in the air. And with a mom whose child had been injured. Mildly, really mildly injured, but passed out. Probably her blood sugar was low already. And the mom happened to actually be there when it happened. She has another child who's sensitive to these things. And when she called me, it was such an emergency. I couldn't handle it well. I wasn't in my body. I was, really not present for anybody in particular. So this was what was going through her mind, and she was having a hard time stabilizing after an emergency. We did 10 minutes of a cognitive movement session, and she found her and. The and was she actually handled it like a boss. She got everybody taken care of, going back and forth between, her two kids, handling the EMTs, figuring out what actually went wrong. The and was she'd given her kids tools in advance that allowed them to just navigate through this beautifully, right? But that was impossible to see in the moment when the nervous system is really in such fight or flight that there is no perspective. Cognitive movement beautifully and relatively quickly allows for that breathing space of, oh, actually, everything's okay. In fact, it's better than okay. It's good. We're good. We're very good. So it was really a beautiful thing. But there, I have compassion, great compassion, because I've been there myself when I could only see one way and one way out. In fact, there's this funny story. It wasn't funny at the time, but I had to sell my brother's house, and he'd passed away before. It was very difficult, and there was a lot of emotions and people involved. And I called Bill, telling him that I think the end of the world was happening. Do you remember Bill? Yeah. I was certain the end of the world was happening. I was probably going to jail somehow. We were going to lose everything. Completely irrational. But there was some history that made my nervous system go into a shock mode, fight or flight mode. And even though, one of the creators of cognitive movement, I couldn't see myself. I couldn't get myself out. So I call Bill, and I'm freaking out, and he believes me because I don't really freak out all that often, and not to this level, of course. He believes me, the world is ending. So we do the session. He helps me find the glitch. So there was a spot in my vision, visual reference, which was glitching out, which wouldn't move. He could see, and I couldn't. And that was the part of my brain that was locked up. I think that's what we're talking about, really, is when the brain and the nervous system get locked up. The minute that was cleared, we got off the phone, and I knew the answer. And the answer was no, thank you. And then here was the big and. Immediately, I knew exactly what to do. And within a very short time, I had a realtor and the house was being sold very, very quickly after that. But in that big shocked fight or flight moment, I could not see a way out. And then I could. Immediately, I could. So when I called Bill back, not how long later,
Yeah,
not that long,
not very long.
I'm like, hey, you want to know what the answer was? And he's like, what? And he's still freaked out because he thinks the world's ending because I said it was. I'm like, oh, the answer was no, thank you. And I think there might have been some expletives. What's that word? Swear
Expletive.
words, expletives, swear words on Bill's part. Like, what are you talking about? But once I could see the truth about it, it became all so clear, just clear. Oh, do this and then that and then that. Thank you. Here we go. We're done. And it really can be that simple as long as you're able to find your way to the ant, right? To that space where you can take a breath, the smoke clears or the brick wall, and now the world's open again for wandering about in.
Yeah. That isn't that amazing, you know? And the thing is that I wasn't kidding when I said for me, you know, it could go on for, you know, days to decades. You know. And thank God we now understand the brain and the nervous system better. And so it's like, I think you don't think about it. I should talk about myself. Is for me, I didn't see myself as suffering. I saw myself as just right. You know, I'm so right, and maybe I'm angry, you know, about something, and I'm right, and I'm hurt or whatever. And but I don't see it as that. I mean, that's the nature of and that there was any possibility of anything else. There is no other possibility. There is no and. And I didn't see it really as suffering. It's just how life is. But today, once you've kind of exited it, it's like, yeah, you were suffering, and that's stupid, you know, and there's other possibilities. You know, Tony Robbins approaches this from a completely different, he different point of view. He doesn't use the, you know, the cognitive movement tools that we do, although we'd love him to take them on. He doesn't,
Yeah,
he
that would
just
be great.
doesn't, he doesn't know about it yet. So if you're listening and you're a friend with Tony, love to meet him and show him a couple of tools. But the way that one of the ways that Tony does things, and you know, he talked about one of his mentors that you know he had him do what he calls stretching, and stretching is, you know, when when you think that you can't, then you must. And so it's another way of looking at an and is but it's a force of will to cause yourself into the an and. You know, I feel like I can't, so I'm gonna grit my teeth and I'm gonna go do it, you
But
know.
there has to be an awareness that there is the possibility of an and. Even when you can't find one. So for me, that was so true. There was abject truth the world was burning down in that moment. 100% abject truth.
Yeah.
My and was, I know there's cognitive movement and I might be a little insane in the moment. Really, the insanity meaning I couldn't find my way out. You know, I could not, I knew I wasn't thinking right, but I couldn't find my own way out, except for that I knew there was another possibility. So if a person can get to the place of even taking the pause and looking around, is there an and here? Is it possible that there's another side to this coin that I just haven't seen yet? Even being able to ask the question sometimes will slow down the system and put you into another part of the brain that allows you to take those steps to find the end, to find the pause, and to find solution. Because when you're in the state like I was, there was no solution. That was going nowhere, right? I wasn't in a resourceful state, but I had the awareness to look for one. So let's take our first break. And when we come back, we will talk about how some of the most successful humans on the planet utilize this. There's a process called the Disney process in neurolinguistic programming that uses this kind of methodology. And it's a way that Walt Disney and his group set up to make sure that they weren't skewed in their thinking, to make sure that the process went smoothly and it wasn't just a one-track mind. So let's take our break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you.
You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions.
Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We are talking about the power of an and, that pause that allows for another perspective, allows for a shift in thinking. So before we went to the break, I was talking about the Disney process. It is another version of self, other, and observer. So in the Walt Disney process, what they do is they would have distinct ways of thinking, and this translated into departments. So it would start with the dreamer, and the dreamer team was free to think up anything they wanted to think up. You know, the sky is the limit. No limits on them. They didn't have to think about money. They didn't have to think about time. They didn't have to think about anything other than the dream. One perspective, right? But you guys know where I'm going with this, because just a dreamer doesn't make a company profitable, right? The next perspective, the next team would be the realists, kind of like your producer folks, right? To get in and say, how can I turn this dream into something real? You know, is this live action? Is this something for the theme park? Is this a cartoon? And then that was all they had to do. They didn't worry about coming up with a creative at all. All they had to do was decide, can we turn this into something real? That was their only job. Then the third group was the critic. Now the critic got to come in and say, can we do this on budget? Do we have facilities for this? Is there time for this? So it all is one project, but it allowed for this freedom in each of those departments to consider their unique perspective. And we know that this was very, very successful for them for a lot of years, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was there an any one other step there?
No, well, not in that process. I mean, sure, there are lots of other steps, but NLP took things that worked and put them into process. So they took this and took it apart into the pieces and used it in how to change a single person's perspective. So there's tons of other steps afterwards, but each of these pieces let the project team look at it from their own perspective, and they were allowed to do just that job so that they didn't have to think about all of it at exactly the same time. So it's really about shifting into a new perspective. And like I said, it's about self, my opinion, your opinion, and then what an opinion might be of a person looking at the two of us talking. It's kind of that same idea.
You know, that's it's so interesting, and I wish I maybe you remember the book, but there was a book written, I don't know, probably a decade ago, more than a de what am I talking about? Probably a few decades ago, but it was someone who had looked at Einstein, Galileo, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, all these different great, super creative people. And they all had this kind of common thing that they did. And the common thing that they did was they did not consider a problem solved until they let go of their own perspective and looked at it from somebody else's perspective, like a completely different perspective. And then they would drop that perspective and try to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
So it was like they said they needed to look at it from at least three different perspectives in order to be able to consider it like valid or complete or, you know, that sort of thing, which interesting, isn't it interesting? Because everybody, I know, I sure do. I consider Walt Disney a genius, you
Well, and
know.
he came out of that same time frame
Yeah.
as well. You know, that same and that group of people were especially generative. You know, they created things that we are still building on today, absolutely. You
Yeah.
know, their ideas. And I think for them that thinking allowed them to expand what they were doing so much more fully than if they looked at it from one singular perspective. And
Yeah.
just the ability to look for, is there something I haven't seen? Is there another perspective?
Yeah.
In the Disney process, it's actually literally three different teams, three different areas. They were in different areas of the park, you know, or of the buildings. They were in different spaces. And then they would all, you know, come together in the end. They had to all come together in the end as a complete project. In the self other observer process, it's the same thing. So in NLP, they have you put a piece of paper on the floor that says self, other, and observer. And you'd stand on the self and you see your perspective, right?
Yeah.
And then you move to the other and literally move your body to the other perspective, looking back at yourself. and see what it looks like. Try on what it looks like from the other person's point of view. And weirdly, that move, also we're shifting hemispheres of the brain. You and I know that. I'm standing one direction. I flipped myself the opposite direction. I'm in the other hemisphere of the brain. You're able to see what you look like from that perspective. And then the third perspective, the and, is what do we both look like from an outside impartial party? Really makes you think, what would someone say if they're looking? And there really are that many perspectives and so many more. So it's this ability to shift into a different position to see what else there is to know. And what Bill and I know is that is called psychogeography, that little process. You're moving space in a room and shifting the hemisphere of the brain that is actually looking at that particular situation, and you're able to think differently. It gives you that space to be like, okay, and there's something else here that I didn't see before. So valuable.
Yeah, incredibly valuable.
Yeah, really, really valuable. So in a human's life, if you're out there listening and you've got one of these perspectives, give it a try. Take three pieces of paper, put them on the ground in a triangle shape, self, other, and observer, and just stand on those pieces of paper and think about your issue and see what changes. Just even doing that silly little thing creates an and. It creates a pause in your thinking, right? You're no longer stuck in a trench because now you're thinking, oh, I have to write three pieces of paper. That's weird. Oh, I have to put them in a triangle shape. That's weird. Oh, I have to stand on each one. That's weird. So you're already moving out of that singular thinking. You're already moving out of it by just those little actions. By the time you've done all of that, you've paused and something else is forming. You've created yourself and there's some other things to think about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the end.
That's the end. Yeah.
Yeah. You created some other things to think about, to consider. Yeah. You know, they say that's one of the huge gifts in this lifetime is that, and this is, sounds a little bit woo-woo, but one of the things we know from near-death experience is that there is no time once you leave the body. They all talk about everything's happening instantaneously. So you can imagine if I have a stuck thought, well, without time, it's very hard to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because with time, you have an opportunity for an and. Like I can, you know, something super simple like, well, should I forgive them? You know, I don't know. Let me think about it. Maybe I'll get attacked again. Maybe not a good idea. Well, is that true? You know, you have time to consider another opportunity. And here in this dimension we live in, this gift is, you know, you can extend it like I did, you know, for decades at a time, you know, of
yeah,
living
right?
in one reality before I would consider an and. So, but you can imagine if you died and you were really forcefully feeling something, you know, whatever that is, you know, you get trapped. So
yeah.
it's an interesting dimension that we live in here. And, you know, that's pretty woo woo, but ultimately we're talking about here and now quality of life.
You know, yeah.
Just quality of life. You know, your quality of life went way up when you were like, no, thank you.
Right.
Like, okay, quality of life. Okay, my quality of life just got so much better.
And the world didn't burn down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, so true that quality of life shifts tremendously when you have the skill of creating an and for yourself, even if it means reaching out and getting some help. So we've been talking about like three perspectives. Let's just talk about two perspectives. Just flipping a coin. Have you ever heard there's two sides to a coin, every coin, right? Two sides to a coin. So I was talking to a client today about a person that is very, very annoying to them. And at least from what they told me, that person sounds legitimately annoying and causing problems and all those kinds of things. So how is there a flip side to that? How is there a flip side when somebody is 100% wrong? Right? Here's where the and comes in. The and is that pause of looking at them with fresh eyes. In this case, what they figured out is, oh, that person is on their path. That person who's so annoying, so aggravating, so causing trouble, they haven't learned this lesson yet. They'll get there. They're not there yet. Oh, it's interesting to have compassion about where they are in their journey. And they said, you know what? I've been there too. I've been there. I have been there. I wanted to be so right. I was 100% right. There was no other perspective. And that's where she is. Oh, I get it. And it was this instant softening. So the and was, what else is there to know about this situation? What else is there to perceive about this situation? What else is there about them that I have yet to consider, right? It changed everything because then there's no pushing and fighting against them. There's the softening and like, oh, okay, I guess it's not that big of a deal. And I think this really is the point, Bill, that what our work does, and any work like this of finding an and, is my client who I was talking to was so frustrated. Eventually, they were going to get bored with that situation, right? They'll be mad. They'll be fighting. They'll be telling everyone. And then after some time, whatever, right? They'll have moved on. What our work does in this power of the and is shorten up that time. How much of your life are you going to spend on it? Maybe it could just be 5 minutes and the perspective has shifted and you're on living the rest of your life.
That's powerful. You're given the gift of time. It's like, imagine, and we've all done it, Friday afternoon, you're upset about something and we drag it into the weekend and then into the next part of the following week. And you really had good plans on the weekend. You were going to go out and do something fun, but you're just generally ornery, you know, throughout the weekend, and also making the people suffer that are closest to you, because they're going to hear about it. And then we're going to talk about it. And it'll be, and another thing, hey, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about, And your spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever is going to be hearing about it over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Rehashing it. So they're like suffering there with you, you know?
Oh my God. I've been there too, where I'm so riled up about something and it's all I can talk about. And in retrospect, you're like, oh my God, I must've been so annoying to everyone around me. Right. I don't want to hear it. I just want to have a good time. We've come up against our second break. Let's take that quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about some actual ways, some that are pretty funny, that you can create a little bit of an and for yourself. And we'll finish up by talking about what is the real value of this in terms of your consciousness level, your growth as a human. So we'll be right back.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased. Naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're talking about the power of the and, the ability to find an and in any situation that gets you through a tough situation faster, shifts your perspective, and in the end, really grows your consciousness level. So we promise that we talk about some ways to do this, that some are kind of funny. I'll start, Bill, and then you can pick up from here. One is, this came from one of our practitioners in training. She had a child that she just could not be consoled. And she took her car, and on the freeway, she drove on one off ramp and on the other, on one off ramp and on the other, creating a figure eight with her car. It settled the child. It put them in a calm state, and they were able to sleep. Seems extreme, but it really works. It's one of those things that, who thinks of doing that? Why would you ever do that? But it worked, and it created an and, a softening with, you know, toddler that couldn't be soothed and then could be pretty quickly, she said.
That is such a great one. You know, that technology of the figure eight, when you make a U-turn to the left, you shift lobes of your brain. And when you make a U-turn to the right, you shift lobes of the brain again. That technology is originally came to us out of the labyrinth, which is thousands and thousands of years old. They're across the world. Ancient civilizations had labyrinths, and you can find one near you, labyrinthlocator.org. And anyway, they still exist. But you walk in, and it forces you to walk to the left, and it forces you to walk to the right. It's not a maze, but what it does, as you're contemplating your problem, it will allow you to see another perspective, because you're in a certain lobe of the brain, you're stuck on a perspective. So this is utilized in our work in the figure eight, which we utilize walking. So if you don't have a labyrinth, you could simply do what Liz is talking about, and you can really easily just change your mind. And it just happens so easily. But the one that strikes me as a super easy one is our physical body. If you have a stuck thought, especially if it's like a unpleasant, stuck, recurring thought, your body, this is mandatory, this is not optional, mandatory that your body must tense. It must participate. This is the same for you, me, Liz Larson, and every other human on the planet Earth. The body must participate. And the way the body participates is through physical contraction or tension. And the tension can be as simple as furrowing the eyebrows. Oh, it could be just like a little bit of gritting my teeth. You see people with big jaws, you know, and they're really robust jaw, they're probably somebody who's grits their teeth a lot, you know, or they, or some people, you can see it through the entire torso. Like they're rigid. You can feel a rigidity or see a rigidity in their body. Could be in the neck. Literally, it could be anywhere. It could just be in one toe or the tongue. Doesn't matter. But the beautiful thing is that now that you know this, the opposite is true. What I mean by that is a relaxation of every micro tension in your physical body will relieve you of that negative thought. The problem is you chase it around, right? I relax my shoulders and then I realize I'm holding in my gut. Okay, got to relax the gut now. Okay, now I feel some tension in my lower back. Okay, now I'm going to relax that. And then I'll chase it around. You know, actually, I can feel it up in the top of my head. I need to relax it. Oh, weird place to relax, but okay. And you just keep going through. And what happens is when you're completely relaxed, there's no more negative thought. And so that allows the space and of an and.
Yeah.
And it ain't no big deal. And whatever. But this one works like a charm. And ultimately, the work of cognitive movement does this. When you get a resolution to an issue through cognitive movement, you'll find that the tension has gone out of your body. So it really allows you to have a different perspective. But that's a fast way.
It really is. And one of the ways to think about this is like, imagine if you've pulled a rubber band tight and then you just sort of let it go, let the tension out. You know, you recognize that your body is tensed up like that. You know, you're pulling at it or pushing at it. And that ability to just breathe into it and imagine the rubber band letting go, You become aware how much power you have over the pain in your own body, over the tension that you're having. And eventually you learn how to relax into, we call it an act of relax in our work, relax into a problem. And that creates the and. That creates another solution. Once you release your tension around it, you're pushing against it, a solution arises. So we just have 3 minutes left to go. And just really quickly, let's talk about how this really raises your consciousness. When you learn that you have an ability to recognize where you are now and make a shift, what does that do for your awareness, for your personal growth and development?
Well, a level of consciousness or consciousness is being just more or less aware, and is greater awareness. I'm aware of another possibility. And so this is a tremendous win. You know, we talked about the Friday afternoon in the last part of this show, and really, you know, the suffering that we bestow on the people closest to us because we can't find the and. I would submit that it's a moral responsibility to find your and. Use the tools we've given you and find your and. Do you like it when your spouse or your whatever coworker can't find their and? It's not fun.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we all do it, myself included. So there we go. Let's find our ands.
Yeah, it has so much value and it creates so much space in a person's life. We've all known that person who cannot get out of their own way. And eventually you're so bored with that whatever the problem is, they can't find an and. So if you can recognize that in yourself, it really raises your ability to find new solutions, to grow. So I would suggest anybody out there who recognizes that they haven't found their and, but they'd like to, our Cognitive Movement Essentials program is exactly the way to do that. We teach you the technologies that Bill and I are talking about now, and a way to create an and within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or even shorter than that. But a way to give yourself that reminder all the time, I can switch this. I can have it last a whole weekend or a month or a year or a lifetime, or I can get it done in a couple minutes, still have my feelings about it, still be as right as I am, and then find more and more solutions to help me just get on with my life, which I think is the whole point. Don't you, Bill?
Yeah. Get on with your life.
Yeah, that's it. All right, you guys. Thanks so much for being with us. Please send your finding your and stories to info@cognomovement.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this. Ask us any questions that you might have there. info@cognomovement.com. And until next time, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.